Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Save big money on your roofing project at Menards with Owens Corning Shingles. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements and enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection and impressive curb appeal. Choose from 24 colors of Owens Corning Duration Shingles and transform your home today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to the Get Certified Together, created as part of Technicove, a free knowledge-sharing website based in London. If you love our content, please like and subscribe from your favorite podcast player. Reach out to us via www.technicove.com for suggestions and collaborations.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Get Certified Together series. Now, it's been a while, right? I mean, I recorded my last episode in July and it's more than a month now. It's almost mid of September. I honestly wanted to kickstart my podcasting again from September 1st week onwards, but of course I have to relearn all the tools because it's been a while I did the recording as well. And I think if you recall, there was some issue around the software which I used to use for the recording before. Was a whole lot of like relearning curve which I had to make sure that I revise myself and make sure that I know what I'm doing before I start recording again. So that's what took like a week delay in the September month. Why I took break now, so it's not like I was busy this time. I was really actually exhausted after recording videos and recording the episodes as well. And not only about recording, like I was really exhausted from listening the podcast as well. So I kind of take like some sort of podcasting detox break where I was not doing any sort of listening. And instead what I did was something pretty old school. I read a book. So I took my time out to read book and I took my time out to listen an audiobook as well. So in this whole break of like one and a half months, I finished two books. I mean, to be honest, the audiobook which I'm still listening is still underway. So probably like it should be another 2 weeks before I finish that. But yeah, I took the break and I took my time out to do something which is like I haven't done in a long while, where I sit down, relax and just concentrate on reading a book. Now, book again was not related to technology. So like I said, I wanted to have like full detox. So no technology task or no stuff related to IT or anything. So books were completely unrelated to whatever we talk and whatever we do in our day-to-day life and around this podcast as well. So if I give you some sort of like idea about kind of books I read, so first is in my native language, but it's a story, like it's an imagination of the author who was imagining like all the problems in the world are somehow related, and every night he dreams, and in the dream he like calls all the big people, like big celebrities and even like big figures from history. He called them in their dreams, and he takes some sort of like a courtroom session where he take record of like what sort of bad things or what sort of bad policies those guys in our past, in our history, they implemented, which we are facing these days, like all the problems in the world and around politics, around the war situation. So it's a nice book. Means it was a big change, and somehow I felt like it's really related to what we are seeing these days with the political situation around the world. So it's a nice book. It's in my native language, so of course I can recommend that to you guys. Second book which I am reading in audio format is from Yuval Noah Harari. I'm sure you might have heard about the author. I have read his previous books as well, Homo Sapiens and Homo Deus, I think. Those were the two. And then this is the book which I am listening these days is Nexus, which talks about like documentation, how knowledge is driven around the world, and in world of AI, how things will change and how they are changing drastically. Means the one thing which I really like, the one message which I received so far when I was reading in one of the chapters is open knowledge or more knowledge doesn't necessarily mean that you also have better expertise in that as well, which in a way it's completely opposite to what we are doing. Like if we believe in IT as an open source and we believe in like sharing the knowledge, but that works in IT because we of course don't want to keep ourselves confined with particular technology language or particular tech knowledge we have. We don't want to confine ourselves in that. We want to share and we want people to grow with us. But it doesn't mean that the same logic applies to everything. So for example, in policies, in politics, in law and in maintaining the order, if you have received a message in your phone like something is going wrong, if it's shared by like millions of people, it doesn't mean that it's really can be true. It means it might be wrong as well, so it might be a fake news as well. So it's a nice book. It means it's again trying to relate all the stuff which is happening these days and how things will change in AI. I mean one thing which really scare me or which excite me as well or scare me means just 20 years back, you and me, if you are of the same age, like I'm sort of like a millennial, so just 20 years back how tech was like that. And I literally recall that we used to have cassette player and where we used to like choose our songs which we had to listen, and then we used to go to a shopkeeper and then he used to like re-record the songes on that cassette, and then we used to bring that up. And look at the times today. I mean, in just 20 years we have like everything on our phone. And things are changing drastically. It means you don't know what will happen in next 20 or even 10 years. So people are saying like, it won't be that big change right away. It will take some time. AI will take its own time to grow. I sort of disagree with that because we have really seen like in past 70 or 80 years how big the technology have changed and how big the leap which we as a humanity we have taken. So I mean it's scary, and like I said, it's exciting as well. It depends like on which side of this whole pendulum you are in. So if you are on the pro technology side, then you might be saying like, yeah, I'm really excited, let's get on with it, let's try to learn new things and let's try to sort of like to bring it on, we will see what this big thing is. And if you are on the other side, then you might feel like, no man, means slow down, don't rush into this thing. Means we don't know like what sort of decisions or what sort of changes might be happening in our day-to-day life which will be impacting our day-to-day life because of this influx of or forceful implementation of AI and everything. Just imagine if AI is the one which is like creating or writing a policy in future. If you heard about white coding, so if you are doing coding in your offices, you are using AI tools to like improve your codes. I mean, I use those tools as well myself. So, but what happened like if our ministers, our government, they suddenly feel like, I'm not sure about whether we should be digging a particular mine in a particular area, let's ask ChatGPT or let's ask AI what AI thinks. And maybe AI will give a logical answer, like it will give both sides of the viewpoint as well. Or maybe it will straight away say like, yeah, go on, it's good for your development work, it's good for your country, it will bring more revenue to your country. But it might not tell you like it will impact the environment as well. So it depends, means how people are using AI, they are going to use AI in the future, and who are the people who will be using AI. And once you get some answers from AI, whether you will be relying on it completely or you will like take a deep breath, sit back and have like second level of assessment as well. Like I said, this book is amazing. Means if I'm still listening to it, like I said, it's not complete yet. But if you get chance, if you are into book reading or listening to books, then just go to it. Means it's an amazing book and it's in English, so I can really recommend that book to you. Put the link in the show notes, so if you want to know about that. So yeah, that's all from like what I did in the break. Of course, I had my day job as well, so it's not like I can read the book, I can take care of my two kids, and I can then I can do my office work, and of course like create the or record the podcast as well. So it was like really busy in a way as well, and to be honest, I was not in the zone as well. Finally, I'm back in the zone, back in the mood, and first thing which I did to inspire myself is start with booking the exam. So we are going with AWS security specialist as part of this series, and I am taking exam in December 1st week. So December 1st week is the day or date, I don't recall the date, but is around the timelines where we did CCSP last year. This time I'll be doing AWS Security Specialist exam. So it leaves with us like around, it's September, right? So yeah, around 3 months. So I'm taking a target of 3 months. And what that means is in 3 months, it will be going full throttle. So you won't be having any sort of break, at least from my side, because I have already paid the money for that thing. And I don't want to lose that money because it's not that expensive like CCSP. But of course, man, it's my hard-earned money. So I don't want to lose that money and I want to get on with it. I want to pass that examination. So I have booked that, and that, of course, is enough to inspire me. And I will be going on with this series and with the examination topics in my full speed from now on. And that's it from the introduction side. From today's episode, we will be going to continue our journey around Well-Architected Framework. Now, if you recall, Well-Architected Framework is a tooling which is provided by AWS. And if you follow the recommendation part of that tool, the design principles, you will be creating a better design compared to some thinking about going it on your own. AWS provide this capability by themselves, and as part of this AWS Well-Architected Framework tooling, we have 6 pillars. Those 6 pillars are operational excellence, security, reliability, cost optimization, sustainability, and performance efficiency. We have covered few of them already. In today's episode, we will be doing reliability and security. Now, out of those two, I think security is the bigger one. So we'll park the security as of now and we'll move to security in the later half of the episode. Start with reliability. It will be a quick one. And once we are done with reliability and security, we will be moving to the next framework pillars in the next week episode. So today it will be short one, just 2 of them. So after this break, let's...
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
All right, let's start with the reliability side. So what exactly does reliability mean in the cloud? In simple terms, it's about making sure your workloads do what they're supposed to do, right? They are like always consistently up, and over time, they are not down. Means what you want as a cloud user is you want 100% services. You don't want like your service going down. You try to open your Gmail, it's not working. You try to open your maybe banking app. Oops, transaction went through, but there's an outage. Your app is down. And wait, your money will take like 24 hours to come back into your account. You don't want all those sort of things, right? So if something breaks, you want it to recover quickly as well. I mean, it can be like 100%. I mean, it just claims like if you put completely high availability system design, and it's not something like AWS claims. If you are a good solution architect, you can design it yourself as well. But if you are like short on money, if your organization doesn't want to invest money into it, and if your customers are like they are okay with few outages now and then, still you want to recover them quickly. You don't want to like keep them down for maybe 2 or 3 hours because it's a revenue loss for everyone. So first of all, we want them to run always, like consistently up. And secondly, we want them to recover as quickly as possible as well. Now, AWS lays out few design principles. Design principle is a keyword because we have read about few design principles in the previous pillars as well. So in AWS, in terms of reliability, lays like few design principles. First is build a system that's automatically recovering from failure. So what do you mean by that is if something goes wrong, if your workload is down, if your application is not working as expected, if you have like big load right away and that was something which is unexpected and your application is going down, people are complaining that they can't access the application, their transactions are not going through, what you want is you want it to recover automatically from that failure. So you don't want like a human to fix it. I mean, let's talk about AI again, but this is not AI. This is like simple automation. It's been in this tech like for a long time. So there's nothing scary about it. What you want is like you want your application to recover by itself. And you of course want to test whether that recovery is working or not. So you want to test that in the staging or dev environment, whether your application, which you are launching in production, whether it can recover by itself using some sort of automation. So you just don't like test your app is working. You also have to make sure that it's reliable and it's recovering by itself. So all those sort of automation should be in place. Another bit is now we are talking about like application should be recovering. Application should not be going down. But you have to analyze what reasons might be impacting that, because that, of course, you can optimize your application according to requirements. So if you are expecting that there is a higher workload on maybe a specific time window, maybe during a festive period, you are hosting an e-commerce application or website onto your cloud, and you know that somewhere around maybe Christmas time, there will be more people who will be transacting on that e-commerce site. You anticipate the capacity and you optimize your resources around that according to the requirement. So you don't just guess like, right, 2 cores should be fine or 16 gig should be fine. You have to optimize according to requirement, and that plays a really big role in making sure your application is reliable. Let's break down into like four big, you can say, practice areas which you need to follow. One of them is foundation. Your foundation is something basic on which you are starting. You need to make sure that your service quotas, your network topology, and your capacity, like I mentioned, everything is according to requirement. Don't just guess anything. Your foundation of your application, your workloads, your design should be strong, should be highly available or reliable at the first place. So that's like making sure your basics are always right. And second is your architecture of the workload. Now, you first have to decide like what sort of application use cases, what sort of services which are running on the application, how many users will be accessing that application. And then only you can decide whether what kind of design you want. You want a simple monolith kind of like virtual machine design, or whether you want something which is running on a containerized form in sort of microservices. So different worker nodes or different containers application running on a Kubernetes cluster. So all those sort of things, API calls is another big thing, because you need to make sure that your different services, if they are divided in or break down into different components and they are running on a different type of workload or different type of virtual machine or containers, they need to communicate with each other as well. And of course, that communication need to go through to the end users as well. So API connection integration should be in place as well. Distribution of your application or workload, because ultimately you don't want your application to go down if your whole AWS data center or a particular region goes down. So you want to make sure that your application is fully geo-read. Another bit is around change management. Now, change management is one thing which I think it came in the operational side as well. It will be coming in performance as well. Change management is nothing but how you are implementing or rolling out your changes into your live application. So if you are like really live users and you don't want your application to go down even for a single second, don't just try to break the application by putting the changes into the production. You have to test it. You have to test it in a dev environment. You have to make sure that whatever change you are doing is approved, is assessed, and is already reviewed by a change board. You have to have some sort of like rollback plan as well. You need to monitor during the application, during the change, post changes as well, how application is behaving. All those sort of monitoring or KPI metrics will help you enable that your application is reliable as well. Another big thing which we sort of forget is failure management. Like if something goes really wrong with your application, how are you planning to recover it? What sort of backup and business continuity and disaster recovery strategy you got? So what kind of backup solution you have kept in your environment, or what sort of lesson learned you have got from your previous outage? So you can understand like if there's something really wrong today, was it something which happened before as well? Can we do something with that it doesn't happen again in future? And I think one of the big part around that is chaos engineering, which is nothing but make sure like really, really putting the application or your live workload in, of course, in a dev environment around chaos or around a stress test, where you forcefully make do some outage or forcefully tinker something so that your application goes down, and then you create some sort of chaos around the organization and tell them like something is wrong. Sysadmins, IT guys, please recover this application and see what went wrong while the recovery process in this place. Everything comes as part of chaos engineering, which is nothing but your failure management. So all these sort of things will make sure that your application is reliable. And the big picture is, it's not about surviving a failure. It's about how you operate it in the real time and how you recover it as soon something goes wrong, and how quickly you recover it, and once it's recovered, how you are making sure that doesn't happen again. So all these unexpected problems, how you're sorting them out is part of reliability as a reliability pillar or reliability well-architected framework or foundation. So, I mean, that's a wrap for reliability pillar. It's nothing like something really big around it. It's pretty evident from the name itself. You just have to make sure that your application, your workload, in fact, if you're having on-prem, I mean, you're talking about AWS, but we don't care about on-prem. But in a way, if it's on-prem, then you have to make sure your building is resilient. Your building or your infrastructure is always secure and always, it's geo-red kind of thing. Like if something goes wrong, you recover it as soon as possible. So that's around reliability. Let's move to security now, which is another pillar of well-architected framework. Right, before we move into security, just imagine this, that your AWS infrastructure is like a house in which you live in. And in that house, it's like it's filled with your stuff, your expensive stuff. Even humans are living there, like your family, and you have kept like really nice valuables. You don't want anyone to steal them, right? So that's kind of like something your cloud infrastructure looks like onto the cloud. And of course, in terms of like securing your house, you just don't put only the lock outside and you feel like it's completely secure. You also put cameras in. You also make sure if you are going out of the house, you make sure that locks are in place in almost all the entries. And even if you are in the house, if someone rings the bell, you have to, you just checks like who is coming in, like who rang the bell and who wants to come in. If it's a packet or if it's a box, if it's a delivery, who is delivering that packet? And once you receive the packet, like who sent it? Is it really reliable? Is it something you're expecting, or this is something unexpected? Is this something you don't want in your house? So all those sort of things you can now completely correlate with the cloud-based stuff as well. So AWS well-architected framework security pillar is nothing but is making sure your cloud infra is secure in the layered approach, which we heard about it in the CCSP as well, defense in depth. So what you want to make sure is you don't have like only network controls, you have ample IAM controls as well, you have encryptions in place, you are making sure that you are keeping check on what is going in and out. If there is something which is like public facing, for example, your door, then what sort of packets are coming in and out, which your application inside the house or inside the cloud infra is accessing. So all those sort of ideas around defense in depth is putting security in all layers. And once you have security in all layers, according to AWS recommended solutions, using them, AWS claims, or even as a customer, we can feel like we are pretty secure onto the cloud. Because one of the things which is like still a misconception around the cloud is not secure. It's something which is on public side. So wait, I don't want anything on the public side. I want everything going to my on-prem, on my own infrastructure, which I control. Well, if you put all solutions or recommendation in place, if you design your solution properly, you design your application properly, then public cloud is as secure as private cloud as well. Now, one of the cool part about this cloud security or even your home security as well, I mean, we can put all sort of automation in the home as well. Like the moment you come inside, you just press few keypads, some buttons on your keypad, and then all the doors of your house are auto-locked. And if someone tried to like forcefully enter it, they will start ring bells or there will be some sort of alarms or something. So all those sort of automation can be put in place on cloud side as well. I mean, that makes complete sense, right? You don't want a human to always monitor everything. You want automation solution around not only deploying the solution at the first place. So for example, infra as a code we talked about in the operational pillar. Infra as a code is important not only in terms of like automating your deployment or your configuration phase, it's also important to automate your monitoring side as well. So for example, your SOC and SIM solution, they should be automated. So anything goes wrong, if there's an alert on your system, then it should like automatically detect what went wrong and it should alert the relevant parties as well. So you don't want a human to always sit and monitor everything. Another thing is like at the core of everything is data, right? I mean, data is something which you want to make sure that it's always secure. I mean, data is heart of everything. And this is something which we can compare at home, I think maybe with I don't know, money, I say, like when you have like really cash inside your house, or maybe your confidential documentation. I think that's more relatable. So if your confidential documentation you are keeping in your home, you don't want to keep them like open on the table, right? You want to keep them in a safe place, in a secure place, and maybe it's locked. Which, what kind of lock you want to put in, like a secure lock which no one can open using a key? What you compare it, when you compare it with the cloud security side of thing, then that's like you're putting your data using a secure key encryption using the latest algorithms. So I think that's encryption bit of it. So security pillar cover everything which we talked about in CCSP, and I think which we will talk more or less around everything in this AWS Security Specialist examination as well, because the pillar of the well-architected framework which we are most concerned about as part of this series at least is security, and we will be coming around all these terms as we go on into different episodes and different topics. And I think if you put it all together, it's like you make sure your identity is secure, your detection mechanism is there, your infrastructure data, and even your incident response should be there. So something related to which I just now mentioned, if something really happened wrong, like someone breaks in into your house, there should be automated alarm. So what kind of response you will give them? Then maybe you're going to call the cops and police. And then something similar will be on the cloud side as well. You have to bring in your experts who will be able to handle it to that situation. If there is really some attacker onto your infrastructure and they are trying to steal your stuff, they are trying to put some malware around your application workloads. So everything you can easily correlate with the analogy of the house which I gave, and how you want to make sure you feel secure inside the home when you have all sort of solution, different layers are covered and feel as part of defense in that. That's something you can correlate with your cloud as well. So if you're putting workload onto it, you have to make sure that all the defenses, all the layers are in place, and anywhere anything happen, like everything is detected automatically, right teams, right people, right communication is spread, and you try to recover it as soon as possible, because ultimately your data is as valuable as anything. Means you don't want it to be stolen by someone who just comes in and just logs in or SSH into your server onto the cloud, right? So that's the whole point of having security pillar. And like I said, we will be covering more around it in the upcoming episode, because ultimately we are trying to be learning about the AWS security side of things. But anyhow, in the next week's episode, we will be covering other less important. I shouldn't say important, but less critical stuff like cost optimization, sustainability. Don't think we have covered performance as well. To be honest, I haven't checked, but if in one of the episodes we have already covered performance, then I will be, of course, not repeating them. So next week will be whatever is left as part of this well-architected framework, and then we'll be moving to our real AWS Security Specialist examination topics, because like I said, 3 months. We only have 3 months to pass this examination. At least I've only got 3 months and I've already took the examination, so I can get my money back. But we have to do it then. So no chance. I have to do it, and of course you guys can do it, and we can get certified together. All right, that's it for today's episode, and let's catch up next week with more topics around cloud security and AWS Security Specialist, well, architecture foundation or framework or pillars or whatever you want to say. Goodbye and good luck.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Follow the show so you don't miss out as we deliver piping hot topics every week.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com. hers.com/4U, FORHERS.com/4U. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at 4HERS.com. Apply.